Welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast with your host, Sean St. Hill. Sean is the CEO of Tech and Main, a technology consulting firm in Atlanta, Georgia. Listen in as thought leaders share their tips and insights about what's going on in the world of technology. And now, here's your host, Sean St. Hill.
Thank you for joining another episode of Tech and Main Presents, where we bring you the best insights from today's leaders and experts in technology. Today, we will be speaking with Tom Ashley. Tom is an education strategist with CDW. I'll let Tom tell you about his background and amazing accomplishments, but first, Tom, welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast.
Thank you, Sean. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm excited to have a little chat with you.
Same here, Tom. I have been looking forward to this, and I will plug you in the following way. Tom, you and I connected via LinkedIn, and I have to say, one, that is the best way to reach out to folks in a professional capacity. But beyond that, Tom, you have been one of the easiest people to connect with and setting everything up for the podcast. So I just, as a content creator, I appreciate that very much.
Well, you're very welcome.
Awesome. Well, Tom, as I mentioned in the intro, you've got an amazing background. Please go ahead and share that background with our audience.
Happy to do that, Sean. I was a chief technology officer, K-12 chief technology officer for 25 years, both in Georgia and the last 20 years in Indiana. And after all that time and also going through the COVID response, I decided to sort of take another challenge, and I'll talk more about my position currently. But before that, so I worked in 25 years in K-12 education. But before that, also, I worked in the corporate world as an operations manager of a computer services company in Georgia, in Indiana. And then before that, I also spent 9 years in the U.S. Army Reserves as an engineer. And so I just retired recently, last June, from Huntington County Schools, again, in Indiana. And I was hired by CDW to be an education strategist. A couple of the things I was involved with over my career in Indiana was I was the co-chair of the Indiana Cybersecurity Task Force, which was basically a group of educational technology leaders that sort of came together, sponsored by the Indiana Department of Education, gave us a little bit of money. And our job was to take all those, because in some respects, there's so many cybersecurity related tools and resources, it's almost overwhelming. And so our job was to sort of look at all those resources, sort of whittle them down a little bit and offer them back to school districts into more manageable chunks and recommendations, and as well as sort of help the technology leaders build support for cybersecurity initiatives with like superintendents, school boards, conferences, and those types of things. So building awareness was also a big part of that effort. And I'm also was involved over the years with COSTA National, if you're familiar with that group. It's a great support group for technology leaders across the board, and amongst some other things as well, but just tells you that how old I am.
Oh, well, Tom, thank you for sharing that. So I do want to pull on this little curiosity string that I have here. So you were in the Army Reserve, and as with all those that have served, we are indebted to you and really appreciate that sacrifice that you and so many others have made. I do want to ask, though, that military background, that military training, how would you say that translated into what you were doing not only now, but, you know, in your senior leadership roles as a technologist in K-12?
Well, it absolutely impacted my entire life. I did it pretty early. I was actually both enlisted and an officer. So I spent a few years enlisted. I went to basic training and all of that fun stuff that involved. And then I was right out of high school. And then I decided that I was going to go to college. And so I said, well, if I'm going to go to college anyways, why don't I become an officer, since you have ROTC programs where I was going to go? And long story short is I did become a commissioned officer as well, and actually met my wife in the military. She was an ROTC at Indiana University. And funny story is there was literally 400 guys and about 5 women. And that's where I chose to find my wife. And so she's a veteran also, and she served active duty at Fort Gordon and Augusta. That's actually what brought us to Georgia initially.
Ah, okay.
And so, but the bottom line with the military is not easy. And so there's a lot of process happens, and you're put in a lot of tough situations. Well, what it does when you come out the other end of it is you have more confidence than you ever had coming into it. And you believe that, and you know what you can achieve and what you can't achieve in stressful situations. So it sort of helped me develop my life philosophy of finding balance, which we may talk about at some point as well. But you do what you can, do it to the best of your ability, and absolutely give you confidence. So when things get stressful, which in school districts, they absolutely do as a technology department, you have emergencies all the time, and you just take one thing at a time and work through it and move on and don't let yourself get buried.
Oh, well, Tom, I appreciate that answer. And thanks for allowing me to go down that quick rabbit trail.
Absolutely.
So Tom, let's talk about where you are today. You are, as we mentioned, an education strategist with CDW. Help us understand what exactly is that and what has you most excited about your daily work.
Well, I'm excited about being in a position now that I'm in my sort of my last phase of my career. And I'm in a position now that I'm able to share what I've learned and experienced over all these years, but also I'm able to continue growing and learning as a professional. I'm also able to give back to this industry that's been good to me and my family. And so the position this education strategist has also energized me. I feel I'm able to research. I mean, I've completed a big project I was working on for the last 2 years. And so there's a very good work-life balance. The company is very focused on that, making sure like take your time off and don't work after a certain period of time, which is hard to do because I'm used to 24/7 for the most part in the working for the schools. But also I work with an amazing team and I work with an amazing leader. We have at least 7 ed strategists across the country, and we all come from educational backgrounds, but it's a very diverse, talented group. We have some of us one of us was a principal of a school that had a school shooting. And so his primary effort is Brian Krause is physical security, because that was a huge thing in his career. Mine was cybersecurity and project management because of some of the experiences I had. And I had my paycheck check stolen a day before I was presenting to a bunch of school superintendents. And that's another story I may tell if at some point, but it gave me a good story to tell. But we have a great resource. Akilah Willery down in the South, in Texas, in the South, has great experiences. We have some of our kids worked with NASA and does STEM initiatives. We have one that works in New York that has neuroscience and innovation initiatives. We have one that is coming from special services and assistive technology. And so we have all this group. And so together we have all these experiences that we can share with school districts and have our projects, but also support the mission of what CDW is trying to achieve also. But that's what we do. And I work with a great team. We work with a great team. We have a great leader, and that tries to hurt all of us crazy experienced people are trying to keep us focused on things. But that's what I'm excited about. It's a great job. I've really enjoyed it. It's been about 5 months now. Out of the school district, but that's what I'm excited about every day.
Awesome. Well, Tom, let me ask you this. So you mentioned your background of cybersecurity and project management, and this actually ties into the next question that I wanted to ask, because I think sometimes stepping back and looking, as the general public does, at K-12, right? We think, oh, my kid's third grade teacher, right? And that's what K-12 means to most families, right? And as an aside, my wife is a third grade teacher here in Georgia. But that's typically how we look at education. It's the teachers, it's what goes on in the classroom. But really, there's so much more, and especially around technology, right? So talk to us a little bit about how important technology is for K-12.
Well, I've thought about that question a lot over the years, because being the technology guy, I sort of represented technology for school districts, for the school districts I work for. However, I will say that it is a very important tool in the toolbox for educators. However, there's a big however. It also needs to be used and supported professionally and appropriately to be effective. If it isn't supported in that manner, it's a tool that can actually be a negative. And it can be a time waster and a distractor.
Interesting.
I think it should be used. Technology in general should be used to enhance instruction and be an accelerator of instruction, but not replace great teaching. Technology should not be used just for technology's sake. And what was interesting over the years is I was actually in meetings with instructional leaders that wanted to talk about instructional goals and initiatives and teaching and professional development. And the instructional people over the years just wanted to talk about the device. I said, if we know all this other stuff, the important stuff up front and how we want to use the device, what we're trying to achieve, what type of engagement, what type of experience we're trying to make for those students, that's what's important. The device will sort of just fit in to the final phase of that once we exactly know what we want that device to do. But a lot of times over the years, the instructional side of the house, and there's probably a whole different discussion just to talk about that, but technology is a tool. And a tool in the hands of a novice, it doesn't do very well. You can't make great furniture with all the greatest tools in the world if you don't know how to use them. But those tools in the hands of a master can do amazing things. And I think that's the same thing with education. Sometimes we focus on the tools too much when we really need to be supporting the instructional process and making sure all of that, those support resources and professional development and other things are in place as well.
Well, and Tom, so first off, that is a wonderful answer. Second, I would say in light of the CARES money and some of the other money and resources that were earmarked for the pandemic, and then specifically for K-12 and higher ed, I think there was this misunderstanding, right, where, oh, there's billions of dollars available. That means you can buy more iPads, you can buy more Chromebooks, you can buy next generation firewalls. I think there was this, and I'm speaking more so from the provider side of things, if you will, mm-hmm. right? That there's just more that the school districts can buy. You now have a larger budget. That means there's now you can now have a larger inventory. But I love what you said. A tool in the hand of a novice is just that, right? You have a brand new MacBook, but if you don't have a good structure to your classroom, if you have a horrible structure in your classroom, Tom, that new MacBook or that new Chromebook does nothing for you.
Well, sort of a side conversation, but one of my passion projects that I do as an education strategist, which I started 2 years ago when I was actually a CTO, is that's actually one of my biggest frustrations as a technology leader is that we would have an initiative. It might be technology related, it might be software related, it might be hardware related, and we're doing this initiative and we're implementing this, but we're skipping steps. And so the framework that I developed to help put all those pieces together is really that, creating what are the essential conditions, whatever you're trying to do in education, if it's using technology tools or implementing a one-to-one program, there's a certain way to do it. That's what project management comes into it. You got to do it the right way and you can't skip steps and you need the right buy-in, you need the right support, you need the right funding, you need the right follow-up. And so one of the challenges in education and technology is a big part of this because it's a big ticket item, is that you need to make sure you're not just looking at, okay, we purchased this item, and my school district did the same thing. Our goal was put a device in the hands of every student, but there's much, much more than that. But some of that is the harder stuff. I think the reason that happens is because buying stuff is relatively easy. You can wrap your mind around it, how you improve student education and professional development and get everyone on board and getting the right support pieces in place and monitoring it. That's a lot harder to do. And that's why it's a lot less school districts do that. But you know, one thing about technology specifically is like in the area of cybersecurity, which you know we are talking about more today, is the cybersecurity tools and the technology tools that are available more recently and becoming more and more available are exactly these types of things and adds efficiencies and can prevent some of these catastrophic events from happening. So technology, those types of technology tools have made my job a lot easier and a lot making school districts a lot safer over the last few years than it ever was earlier on.
Okay. So, Tom, I'm gonna ask you to put on your advocacy hat here for a moment since we're talking cybersecurity. And so every year school districts can apply for government funding, right, to help offset the cost of technology, internet, wireless, what have you. There has been a push recently, a very hard push around allowing more of that federal funding to be applied to cybersecurity. You've sat in a number of roles, and I think you are qualified to speak to that. Advocate, if you will, for school districts to get access to more funding for cybersecurity technology.
Well, it is absolutely a need out there. I know there's like COSIN is one of those groups trying to advocate for it as well. And we have these E-rate funds. We've had E-rate funds that are very designed for very specific things over the years. But I think pretty much, and I was involved with E-rate from the very first year when it first was created. I think it was back in the late 90s or something. I had to drive my application to downtown Atlanta to deliver it the first time. That's another story. But funding for cybersecurity is exactly what is the need now. When E-rate was first started, looking at network connections, looking at bandwidth, looking at increasing connectivity to the schools, a lot of that is really much done now. And I'm not sure why that hasn't been opened up earlier is because even my district, the entire state of Indiana, and as I work with different states now, that is one of the hottest topics is trying to figure out how you're going to fund. I mean, in a zero trust security model, there's a dozen or more different layers of security that you need to pay attention to now, where in the past it was really they have a hard outer shell with a firewall or something, you think everything inside of it's secure. That is no longer the security model that works. You need to have security from all different levels of the network and people and outside the network and inside the network with your applications and your data center, all those areas, endpoint protection. And it takes a lot of money to do that. And it takes managed services to some extent to see the things that are happening that you can't monitor with your own eyes. So it is actually one of, and every state I work with and every school district that I work with, it's like one of their hottest topics is trying to figure out how to implement the different layers of cybersecurity. And I think it's absolutely time to have that at least included in E-rate. Now, if you have additional funding available specifically for cybersecurity, that would be awesome. But at least let's use the existing funding framework from the federal government to open that need up because it is expensive and it is absolutely an important need.
Well, and Tom, let's just talk hard numbers, right? Most school districts spend about 1% of their annual technology budget on cybersecurity. So if you think about a $2 million budget, that's $20,000, right? It takes a lot more than $20,000 to actually be able to have and stand up a quality security program. I mean, so just from a real numbers standpoint, it's beyond time, and it's more than imperative that school districts be able to get access to that federal funding, to those E-rate dollars. And I know CISA has a grant out that it's a $1 billion grant that's paid out over the next 4 years, and school districts will get access to some of that money. But even that is still a drop in the bucket compared to what they need. So I just wanted to kind of add that
Well,
to.
they're fighting another challenge too, because that's one of those things that I was trying to advocate before I've been retired was, and I still do that now, is that to build awareness. Cybersecurity is a just a big, complicated, when you think of it from a superintendent standpoint or a school board that may have no experience even with education, they see these numbers. And I was told by my first superintendent in Georgia that everything in education is affordable. It just depends on you have a certain amount of funds and things above the line get funded and the things below the line do not. And so the problem is getting cybersecurity above that line of being funded but it's part of it's building awareness and understanding. You know, what's unfortunate to some extent, but fortunate in some respect as well, is like insurance companies. They are actively getting involved with telling school districts to say, hey, you need to implement this, this, and this, or we're just not going to insure you any longer. And so when it gets to that point, that sort of rings the bell for superintendent. But then the problem is that, oh, you need to do this in 30 days. Well, then school districts do it too fast. They skip steps or they pay too much and they don't have a thorough solution. And so that causes challenges also, but at least there's more motivation to get some layers in. But if the problem is the wrong thing is driving it. Insurance companies putting an artificial timelines on implementations is not necessarily a good thing.
No, because anything that requires you to have XYZ done in 5 business days or 10 business days or 30 calendar days, yeah, that's never a good rule of thumb, a good way to operate. All right, so Tom, we're still in that cybersecurity frame of mind. I did want to ask, share your thoughts on cybersecurity and how CDW is coming alongside K-12 leadership to help.
All right, that's an area I'm super excited about because it was with my strategist role, and that's one of my specialty areas, so to speak, is I'm able to do a variety of things, but the area that I sort of zero in on is cybersecurity. And so to give you one example, again, only 5 months in the position, but we are already starting to talk about we have lots of partners and CW is device agnostic, solution agnostic. So we have 5 or 10 security solution providers that we can sort of pick and choose what one is the best need for school districts. But we also work strategically and we're just starting the process saying if there's a 400,000 or 500,000 cybersecurity jobs out there in the country, how do we help school districts? Or can we help school districts build programs to start training those young cybersecurity professionals? And so that's one of the things we can do as a company is work with school districts, work with state agencies strategically to help build that capacity and to meet that need out there. Work with training centers. We purchased a company called Focal Point. Their training is focused on not necessarily certs because a team leader's certifications are fine for, oh, I put on a piece of paper and I have this certification. But they're like the Focal Point training is different because it's actually trained to a skill. So when they finish the training, they have a demonstrable skill that an IT leader or school district can use. And that's more important to have the skill. They also get some certs along with it, but the training focus is different. So we're helping do those types of things. And also looking at those alternative, which is like one form of high school training, which is alternative education format. My son actually went through a cybersecurity boot camp after high school. And so connecting those types of programs to education and help organize and coordinate them. It's because he was a very non-traditional student, but very, very talented and has a lot of aptitude. But traditional schooling wasn't right for him. So he went through a cybersecurity boot camp and that had been very good for him. We present at local school boards, school districts, conferences to help build that awareness also on cybersecurity. I have a presentation that I have just recently gave up in Michigan that is a tool that I give to the participants that they can bring back to their own district, put all their local data in, and then present it to their school board or superintendent to help build that awareness and support. So that position can do those types of things. CDW is a huge company and has lots of resources. We have our internal cybersecurity team. We have response intervention or incident response capability. We have penetration testers. But that's what we do internally as well. But we also have access and relationships with hundreds and hundreds of partners. And that can bring resources to bear to school districts and be supportive there. I didn't know if I mentioned this yet, but my services to school districts and all the ed strategist services to school districts is free. We do not charge for our interactions with school districts.
Thomas, and you did not mention that, sir.
Yeah, that's sort of a big thing, isn't it?
That's a big thing, Tom. Yes, very much so.
And to be completely transparent with you, and this is what we were told when they were hiring me, is they are in the business to sell stuff. However, that's not their only thing they're in business for. They are truly believe, and I say this, that they talked about this just in their journal meetings when I was first onboarding, that they truly want to be in a trusted advisor role. Because transparency there is if they hire people like me and the Ed Strategist team that help build deeper relationships, that have experienced those seats, that those people that are still working in school districts are still going, that know what those people are going through, then help build those deeper relationships. And then ultimately, it's not required, but ultimately they view that helps our branding and helps them view us as a trusted advisor. So when we come in and offer five solutions, they would rather come to us and trust us that we know what they're talking about. We know what their needs are. And so they hire people like us to do that. But all our services are free. We present at conferences free. We go to school districts for free. I travel to their districts for free, and they don't get charged a dime.
So, Tom, there's an author, Anthony Iannarino, and he writes on sales and sales leadership. And one of the things that he is a strong proponent of is knowing as much or more about your customer's industry as they do, right? And so, you know, being able to tell them, here's what we're seeing 3 to 5 years down the road, right? And here's how that will factor into some of the decisions you'll need to make, right? You don't get compensated immediately for that, Tom. Like you can't put that on the table and then have or expect a transaction to happen right then and there in that moment. But Anthony Iannarino talks about how what you are doing is, one, building credibility, right? You're building thought leadership, and you're becoming what you said, that trusted advisor, right? So that, yes, as things progress 4, 6 months down the line, like, yeah, Tom gave us that playbook, and we used that to go to the school district, and the school board finally approved that. Why in God's name am I going to purchase that from somebody else other than Tom? Right. And so, Tom, I am picking up what you are putting down. I am loving how that plays out practically. Right. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
And another great thing is about this too, is it happened just yesterday. I had 3 customer visits yesterday with old colleagues in Indiana. And recently I've come across a really cool sort of solution that sort of would have met my need when I was still there, but also I can share it saying, well, at least take a look at it. I can send you the information. You take a look at it. If it's interesting to you, you can pursue it on the sales side if you want to or not, but take a look at it and see if it meets your need. And maybe here's 2 other ones as well, but I don't have to be involved with that. I can really focus on the solution and the need. I don't even know what stuff costs, to tell you the truth. And so if they get down the road and determine a solution based on its cost, then that's not, they get to do that. But I'm really looking at best practices. I'm looking at what great things are happening in schools, and then trying to share that, well, this district over here, or maybe sometimes connect them to this school over here has a great program to train students, or this program implemented this other thing really, really well. And it sort of just helps. We sort of did that a little bit in Indiana, but now I have like 9 states and I'm able to do that with. And then also we do sort of cross-pollinate from the rest of the team in different parts of the country as well. From school safety, Brian's in the West Coast, and he came to the Midwest to present at a safety conference in St. Louis and connected with the St. Louis school district that had a recent shooting. And so as a support, so technically it was in my area, but we don't really work like that, but we're really a team that supports each other and based on what the needs are out there. But that is exciting to do that. Exciting to be a support resource for school districts in a variety of areas. And again, mine happens to be cybersecurity and more leadership and project management.
And Tom, let's just get right down to it. What you're doing and what your team is doing is you are helping a husband and father like myself feel good about my wife going to school in the morning and teaching her 3rd grade class. You're making me feel good about my high school daughter, knowing that there are people out there just in the background, right? Not on front stage, but you know, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, right? It's like all the stuff going on behind the curtain. That's what someone like myself can take comfort in. My wife is freed up to do what she does and loves and has loved for 20 plus years, right? My kid is freed up to go from class to class and, you know, do the things that she enjoys doing during the day, because folks like Tom Ashley and the other gentleman that you mentioned that deals with physical security, they are getting in touch with the school districts, building those relationships, building that credibility, and getting things taken care of.
Yeah, very rewarding so far. I have really had a good time so far.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right, so Tom, let's go to our advice corner. And so we are going to have you tell the young people, or young at heart, those that are looking for a career in cybersecurity and technology, what would you share with them?
First of all, and number one, with a big number one, is great career choice. You have found a career which, you know, is not, there's some, maybe a few other examples of that, but like I mentioned earlier, there's probably, as Ben mentioned to me, 400,000 jobs waiting for you out there. So if you're going to pick a career, there's 400 open positions right now for qualified professionals. Go get your training, go get your education, get your certifications, and go get a really, really good high paying job. And so that's number one, is you've done a really good job of picking a career. And there's a lot of paths to get there. I mentioned earlier too, you can go to traditional college, high school programs are ramping up. There's a non-traditional paths like my son's cybersecurity boot camp that he went through. Cybersecurity companies are in desperate need of great cybersecurity professionals. And so good job picking that career, which, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is opposite of what my daughter has done. My daughter has picked a career in music theater, who has an 80% unemployment rate. So I'm still working on her. Maybe I can switch her over to cybersecurity, but I'd rather have 400,000 open jobs, which is not like that in music theater when there's 80% unemployment rate. But anyways, that's another story. That's my advice. Great job, and get qualified as quickly as possible and go get your high paid job.
Oh, I think that is great advice. And so, Tom, let's do this. Let's pivot into some questions that are specific to you. The first of which is, name your favorite musician or band.
All right, it might be weird.
That's but okay.
I am, you ever heard of the group Disturbed?
I have not.
All right, you're going to have to look this up afterwards. Okay. But you got to look up for Disturbed, who sings Sound of Silence. So it's Sound of Silence, a Simon Garfunkel song, but sung by Disturbed. And a really good version of it is, I think, on Conan O'Brien. If you YouTube it, you'll see Conan O'Brien and Disturbed, Sound of Silence. That's my favorite song. He's like a heavy metal singer, which I don't necessarily care for that music in general, but that song is amazing. I like some other ones like Phil Collins and Jethro Tull from my, but I have to say, like, I like some classical jazz. I used to play a trombone, and I do like some jazz also, depending on the mood or if I'm driving or something. But my best performer is actually my daughter. She's a great singer, and she's going to school for music theater, and I love everything that she sings.
Oh, that is a wonderful answer. And yeah, and way to plug your daughter, Tom. I love that. Yeah, as a girl dad, yeah, I would do the same. Our daughter plays the harp, and so anytime I get to hear her practice or perform, yeah, it's really neat. So
yeah, she's a junior up at Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin. But she's a junior, and she has another year or so to go. But she's super talented. I can't wait to see what she does with her career.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Tom, how about a favorite hobby or pastime?
All right. My pastime and hobby is also my therapy. Being in education for so long, I needed a way to sort of keep my balance. And so mountain biking is my balance. And I actually originally started biking back in Georgia all those years ago, but now I got into it more and more after I tore my ACL, like playing other sports. So mountain biking is my hobby, my therapy, and what I do like to do when I'm not working.
Okay, great.
Also, another thing, couple things too, is anything in or near water. And also, I really do enjoy spending time with the family as well.
Okay.
When I have some around, they're usually
spread
across. I was
going to say, right? When everyone's together or when, yeah, schedules align. Oh, another great answer. Tom, how about a favorite place to visit on vacation?
Recently, we went to Northern California and saw the Redwood Forest and did hiking. We actually had the whole family together for that, too. I was absolutely amazed. I have never been to California before, other than like a short trip or visit like to San Diego or something, but seeing the redwood forests and hiking in those trees, it was just sort of awe-inspiring. It was absolutely beautiful. It was amazing to see these old trees and what they've been through. And so I really, really like that. And also my wife and I have been married for almost 30 years now, but I'm actually looking forward to what a trip we're going to go on. We're looking at pretty close to decide, and we're going to go to Croatia and do a bike tour of Croatia. Oh. And so that's what we're looking forward to probably next fall.
Oh, how dope is that? Tom, that sounds very bucket list. That's really cool. All right. So Tom, how about a teacher at any level that has had the greatest impact on you?
Well, I sort of referenced it a little bit earlier, but I have to say my drill sergeants I had when I was in basic training, I still remember some of their names. I had two Sergeant Smiths and I had a Sergeant Petrie, and they really did impact my life. And I mentioned some of that earlier. I know it's a process and I know what was sort of going on and why it was going on, but regardless of all that, and they sort of tear you down and they bring you back as a team and all those things that you sort of know that's happening, but it really does create a confidence level. I started my career in a really traumatic situation, but it really have gone through that type of training and that type of discipline and that type of stress. You know, those other things didn't seem so bad. It seemed like, yeah, I was went marked 20 miles with a 60-pound ruck on my back and through bad weather up and down hills and all that kind of thing. Well, this little situation doesn't seem so bad. And so just a quick story with that is I was hired right out of college to be sort of a mentee to a gentleman who was going to train me all the ropes, and then he was going to eventually retire. That was the computer operations company, computer services company in Indiana. And so then I went off to 4 months of military training to be as a new officer. And sometime during that time, he ended up leaving and disappearing. So I had like 2 weeks worth of training. And then I had to come back and then thrown into an environment as a young person, a young 20 something, into an environment where I'm in charge of a $4 million fundraising database computer service application. And I had only 2 weeks worth of training. And so that was sort of my entry into the professional workspace. But I think going through that military experience was a big part of me being able to get through that without, you know, pulling all my hair out, which I don't have a lot, but at least I saved some of it. I didn't pull all of it out.
Right. You were able to keep some. Oh man, that's awesome. All right. Well, Tom, we've come to our last question, but it's always one of my favorites, and it is us jumping in the time machine and going back to 18-year-old Tom Ashley. What is the Tom of today going to tell his 18-year-old self?
Well, I think I sort of hinted to this also earlier, but my life philosophy that I would want my 18-year-old self to know about is to find balance in your life. I work as hard as you can, play as hard as you can, but do everything with all your effort. Understand that there are things that you have control over in your life and things that you don't have control over. If you can do something about it, absolutely do it, do something about it. But however, if there's something that's beyond your control or beyond something that you can impact, don't waste your happiness or your balance worrying about that type of thing, because it's just really wasted effort. Like, if you can do something, do it. But if you can't control everything. And so that's how I recommend finding your balance is find your happiness, be able to do things and be fulfilled with all of your effort and be successful. And then finally, be kind to others, especially people that are different from you and have different opinions. We really have too much animosity in this world today, and we have to find ways to find what we are more alike than what we're different.
No, Tom, that is rich advice for 18-year-old Tom Ashley and certainly for everyone listening. Tom, to say that this was a pleasure would be an understatement. And you are such a good egg and so easy to talk to. And this has been fun. But before we go, what is the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Well, I mean, the easiest way is through LinkedIn for sure. I mean, I'm finding also my LinkedIn contacts are expanding rapidly, and I think that's really exciting. I mean, we met via LinkedIn. You reached out, and I'm not even sure how you even found me originally, but sometimes it just sort of suggests people, and maybe it's meant to be connected. But I think LinkedIn is a very easy way. You know, my address too. I'm happy to get my email address out, or you have my contact information, or
I do.
That type of thing. I'm a support resource. I'm a free tool, and I want to be used. And until I actually retire and go sit on a beach somewhere, I'm ready to continue to do what I do.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Tom, I will put your LinkedIn information and your email address in the show notes. But again, Tom, thank you for the pleasure of your time, and just all the best to you and the family this holiday season. And yeah, you're just an amazing person.
Nope, I appreciate it. Very nice to meet you, and then happy to talk anytime. Maybe I'll have you on. There's a podcast that we're maybe ramping up, so maybe I'll have you on my show sometime.
All right, would love to do it. And with that, Tech and Main Presents family, thank you as always for listening. And be sure to tune in next time when we will have another technology expert share their wisdom. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to another episode of Tech and Main Presents. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Don't forget to tell your friends, and thanks for being a part of the Tech and Main Presents community.